You know that feeling when you walk into a, well, like a really high stakes meeting, maybe it's a massive performance review or you're pitching a huge project to a new client.
Oh, absolutely. The heart rate is going, but you try to hide it.
Right. You sit down, open your perfectly organized folder, look them in the eye, and you just seem, totally effortlessly in control. You are just the picture of calm.
Smooth on the surface,
Yeah.
completely unflappable under pressure.
Unflappable, exactly. But what nobody in that room actually sees is the frantic, coffee-fueled panic from the night before.
Yeah, the invisible work.
Because if you're like most people listening to this, you were probably hunting through, deep email threads, cross-referencing like five different
You'll know
spreadsheets.
at least five.
Yeah, and trying desperately to remember just a stray comment someone made like 6 months ago.
It is the hidden administrative tax we all pay. I mean, the sheer exhausting friction of gathering scattered information before any actual strategic thinking can even begin.
And today, our mission on this deep dive is to explore a technology that is trying to completely abolish that administrative tax.
Which is a bold claim.
It really is.
Yeah.
And they are targeting one of the most notoriously data-heavy, complex industries out there, which is wealth management. So, welcome to the deep dive.
Glad to be here for this one.
Today, we've pulled together a really fascinating stack of sources. We are looking at internal documentation, technical white papers, and the founder's own architectural blueprints for a platform called FinFusion.
Right.
We are going to look at how they are synthesizing artificial intelligence and finance to, well, fundamentally change the way financial advisors prepare for you, the client.
It is a truly fascinating look at the intersection of automation and highly personalized, high-stakes advisory services.
Yeah.
Because when you dig into these white papers, you really start to realize the magnitude of the inefficiency they are trying to solve.
So let's unpack the scale of that inefficiency, because the core problem FinFusion is tackling is just massive.
It's industry-wide, really.
Exactly. If you are a financial advisor, you spend hours, like literally hours per client, doing exactly what we just talked about, gathering scattered data from a dozen different legacy systems before you even get to say hello to the client.
Right, and FinFusion comes in as this AI agent claiming to turn those hours of manual, tedious prep into a fully automated, centralized database that you can, access in seconds.
Which sounds like magic. But looking at their architectural blueprints, they outline a few distinct capabilities to actually make this happen.
Yeah, they start with what they call automated prep.
Right, which is designed to directly replace that manual research with automated briefing notes and synchronized client agendas. But the real engine behind this, the thing that really caught my eye, is what they call the Unified Data Core.
Which sounds incredibly complex on paper.
It does. But from reading the documentation, it's really just about aggressive centralization. They are pulling fragmented information from multiple disconnected software systems into one secure, searchable repository.
And that centralization is what enables their next layer, which is actionable insight.
Okay, break that down for me.
Well, because the system is continuously analyzing the portfolio, it can surface critical client concerns and financial anomalies in real time. It's not waiting for a quarterly review.
Right, it's always on. Yeah.
Exactly. And finally, they layer on strategic engagement. This is a feature that tracks the relationship's fiduciary history, meaning the legal and ethical record of the advisor acting in the client's best financial interest.
Which is huge for compliance, I imagine.
Huge. And it tracks that along with every detail of past sessions.
You know, reading through these capabilities, the analogy that kept popping into my head was a high-end Michelin star restaurant.
Okay, I like that.
Like, it sounds like FinFusion is essentially the ultimate digital sous chef. Think about it. If you've ever worked in a kitchen or even just tried to cook a complex meal for a dinner party, the hardest part is the prep.
Yeah, the chopping, the measuring.
Exactly. The sous chef does all that tedious chopping, the precise measuring. They pull fragmented ingredients from, the walk-in fridge, the pantry, the spice rack, and they organize everything flawlessly at the station.
So the head chef just steps up.
Right. That way, the head chef, or the advisor in this case, can just walk up and focus entirely on the actual cooking, the high-level client strategy.
What's fascinating here is how that operational shift completely redefines the fundamental value of the professional.
How so?
Well, by removing the administrative heavy lifting, the advisor's job transforms. They are no longer a data gatherer. I mean, they become a purely strategic thinker.
It elevates the role.
Completely. If the machine handles the data, the human is freed up to focus exclusively on strategic growth and the emotional intelligence required to manage wealth. And that is something the AI simply cannot replicate.
But I do want to move away from the high-level promises and get into the actual mechanics.
Let's do it.
Because if this AI is our masterful sous chef, how exactly is it processing all these disparate ingredients? The documentation mentions an internal engine called Smart Advisory Logic.
Right, their core four-step process.
Yeah, but it doesn't just happen by magic. Let's imagine a real-world scenario. Let's say I'm an advisor and you, the listener, are my client.
Okay.
And you have a really messy portfolio. You've got like a Charles Schwab IRA, a family trust document saved as a scanned PDF, and maybe a commercial warehouse you own. How does this system actually ingest and make sense of all that?
That scenario is exactly why their process has to be so rigorous. The first phase of this engine involves secure ingestion.
So just getting the data in the door.
Right. The system establishes direct connections to pull raw data from what we call custodians. These are the actual financial institutions, like a Schwab or a Fidelity, that securely hold your assets.
Okay, but pulling an API feed from a bank is very different from reading a scanned PDF of a trust document. Extremely different. Which brings us to the normalization phase. You cannot compare an equity portfolio to a commercial real estate property unless you standardize the metrics.
Because it's apples to oranges.
Exactly. To accomplish this, the platform uses advanced natural language processing. It can essentially read that unstructured PDF, extract the entities like the names of the trustees or the specific rules of inheritance, and translate them into the same universal data schema used for the liquid assets.
Oh, wow. So it cleans the data and standardizes it so every single piece of your wealth speaks the exact same language.
That's the goal. And once it has all that standardized data, it moves to step three, running its AI models across the accounts to surface insights.
Flagging risks, identifying opportunities, that sort of thing.
Precisely. It highlights specific talking points based on the data.
Okay, but then we hit the final phase of this logic engine, which they call advisor actions. And I have to throw a massive red flag here.
Go ahead. What's the flag? Well, the documentation states that this phase turns insights into clear next steps and actually generates client-ready talking tracks by synthesizing transcripts and digital sessions.
Okay, I see where you're going with this.
I have to push back hard on this. If I'm an advisor, I don't want a robot putting words in my mouth. That sounds less like a sous chef and more like a puppeteer, you know?
It does sound a bit dystopian if you frame it that way.
Right. Because if my client finds out an AI told me to ask about their daughter's college fund, that destroys the entire foundation of trust. How do they justify the AI writing a script for a human relationship?
It is a vital distinction to make, and if we look closely at how the blueprints describe this mechanism, it is not about fabricating a persona or faking empathy.
Then what is it doing?
The key phrase in their documentation is the synthesis of transcripts and digital sessions. This means the AI is querying the deep history of your specific relationship with that client. It is asking, what was discussed last quarter? What were the client's specific anxieties during the last market downturn? It systematically prepares the briefing based entirely on that rigorous history.
Oh, I see. So it's not inventing a script out of thin air. It's essentially curing the amnesia that naturally happens between quarterly meetings.
Precisely. It is not about replacing the human voice. It's about ensuring every high-level consultation is backed by instant recall. You aren't walking into the meeting blind or relying on sticky notes from 6 months ago.
Right, you're operating from a baseline of facts.
Exactly. You are equipped with institutional insight drawn directly from your own previous engagements.
Okay, I can see the value in that mechanism. But once this logic engine processes all this data and pulls all these insights, where does it actually live?
The interface matters just as much.
Because if you think about your own digital filing cabinet, if the system just dumps a massive unformatted text file or a dozen new spreadsheets onto my desktop, we're right back to the chaos we started with.
Organization is just as important as the analysis itself. The AI is useless if the storage architecture is flawed. And FinFusion addresses this with what they call the family portfolio structure.
Yeah, their documentation lays out a very deliberate hierarchy for this. You start at the very top with the family folder.
Which is the bird's eye view.
Right. You see the entire household in one single place. I mean, every person, every corporate entity, every account, and every asset tied together.
And then beneath that, you have the asset subfolder.
Which organizes those elements into clear, distinct silos. So you always know exactly what belongs to a specific trust, an individual, or a business.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, that structure is critical when dealing with complex vehicles like tax-advantaged accounts.
Like IRAs or something.
Yes. If we are talking about a Roth IRA, for example, where the growth is entirely tax-free under very specific IRS rules, mixing up that data with a standard brokerage account would be catastrophic for the client's wealth. The rigid folder structure prevents that cross-contamination.
But the feature that really caught my eye, the thing that I think cures what I like to call spreadsheet fatigue, is what they call the historical archive.
That's the real game changer.
The blueprints explicitly state that this ends the era of manual updates across scattered spreadsheets. It claims that when data changes anywhere in this structure, the whole structure stays in sync. But how does that actually work technologically? How does a file update itself everywhere at once?
It works because this isn't just a static digital filing cabinet. It is built on a relational database architecture connected via real-time APIs.
Okay, so they're talking to each other constantly.
Right. In a traditional setup, if a client changes the beneficiary on a trust, an administrator has to open 5 different Excel files and manually type in the new name.
Which is where mistakes happen.
Exactly. In this system, the data isn't a stagnant file, it's a living node. When the AI ingests the new trust document and updates the beneficiary node, that change instantly propagates to every single endpoint, report, and dashboard that references it.
So it's a living, breathing ecosystem.
It is.
If we think about the listener's own experience with fragmented data, like just managing a personal budget across a few apps can be a massive headache.
Oh, absolutely.
Now multiply that complexity by the realities of multi-generational wealth.
Well,
you're dealing with interlocking trusts, changing tax codes, shell companies, inherited assets. In that environment, a single manually updated spreadsheet cell that gets overlooked can have, well, cascading, disastrous effects on a family's legacy.
Having a single source of truth isn't just a nice-to-have convenience in that scenario. It is absolutely vital for risk management.
Which actually leads me directly to a massive contradiction I found in their white papers.
Oh.
Yeah, let me play devil's advocate here for a second, because I am genuinely stumped by this one detail.
Please do.
Okay, we just spent this entire deep dive talking about how this AI abolishes the administrative tax, right? It replaces hours of grueling manual work with seconds of automated brilliance. Living ecosystems, instant API access, AI standardizing PDFs.
That is the promise, yes.
But then you look at their data integrity section, and they state they dedicate an average of 2 hours per family of purely manual human-centric effort to securely intake complex assets.
Ah, yes. The 2-hour intake.
Wait, what? 2 hours of dedicated manual intake per family. Isn't that totally contradictory to the whole instant automated prep pitch? You just sold me a self-driving car, and now you're telling me I have to pedal it for the first 2 hours.
It certainly seems like a paradox at first glance, but that 2 hours of manual friction is actually the bedrock that makes the entire frictionless system function.
How does manual work enable automation, though?
It is the classic measure twice, cut once philosophy applied to complex data architecture. You simply cannot have AI-enhanced synthesis without extreme structural discipline at the very foundation.
So it's basically the ultimate garbage in, garbage out safeguard.
Exactly. Look at the specific phrasing they use in the documentation. Establishing a pristine institutional ledger from day one.
A pristine ledger, meaning perfect, flawless data.
Yes. If you are relying on an AI to manage highly illiquid, complex real estate portfolios or track the cost basis of a multi-generational asset, meaning, you know, the original value of an asset for tax purposes when it was bought 30 years ago, the stakes are incredibly high.
Right.
The AI cannot guess. It cannot hallucinate a cost basis.
Because if it hallucinates a cost basis, the client might end up paying hundreds of thousands of dollars in capital gains taxes that they don't actually owe.
Precisely. Investing that 2 hours of uncompromising human-centric intake up front is what guarantees the system's accuracy. It precisely folderizes the wealth, maps the entities, and validates the cost basis.
So it's a one-time pain for a lifetime of gain.
Exactly. So that the AI can seamlessly eliminate the administrative friction for generations to come, the initial manual effort secures the automation.
Eliminating administrative friction for generations. That is an incredibly ambitious goal, which makes you wonder, who is actually building a system that aims to manage institutional family portfolios for generations?
It's an interesting profile, for sure.
This is the part of the source material that completely threw me. I looked at the Meet the Team section, fully expecting to see a roster of like 50-year-old Wall Street veterans who just got tired of spreadsheets.
It is quite a revelation when you look at the founder profiles.
So they're all undergrads at the University of Miami.
Yes, they are.
We have Aiden Smith, the chief executive officer, a finance and accounting major. His bio says he's focused on bridging artificial intelligence and modern wealth management to empower financial advisors. That makes perfect sense for FinFusion.
It aligns perfectly with the product.
But then look at the other executives. Roxy Amory, the CTO, is a business management student. And Ava Falcone, the CIO, is an entrepreneurship major. But both of their bios explicitly state they are focused on leveraging AI to improve efficiency and workflows in welfare management practices and systems.
This raises an important question, and it is a truly fascinating duality to observe in their own text.
I mean, it's such a pivot.
It really is. We have an executive team building a platform explicitly for sophisticated, high-level institutional wealth management. Yet, the technical and informational leadership, the CTO and CIO, are driven by applications in welfare management.
I'm trying to wrap my head around this. Because, I mean, how do managing a billionaire's estate and managing a public welfare system connect? They seem like literal polar opposites.
We have to look at the underlying mechanics imparted by the text. What this suggests is that this generation of developers is looking at the algorithmic organization of capital as a universal architectural challenge.
Universal in what way?
Think about the data structures involved. On one end of the spectrum, you have a multi-generational family office. They have interlocking trusts, multiple beneficiaries, complex rules for capital distribution, and complicated tax codes to navigate.
Right, the wealth side of the equation.
Now look at the other end of the spectrum. Societal welfare, distributing housing assistance, managing SNAP benefits, or allocating state resources. What does a state welfare program require?
A lot of paperwork, I assume.
It requires verifying complex family household units, tracking dependents, running means-tested eligibility criteria, and executing historical payout schedules while preventing fraud.
Oh, wow. Structurally, to a database,
They're
exactly the same problem.
They're identical. A node with dependents and rules for capital distribution, the efficiency models required are exactly the same.
That is wild to think about.
Right. A massive state welfare system needs a unified data core just as badly as a private wealth manager does. It needs automated prep to process applicants, actionable insights to flag anomalies, and a pristine ledger to prevent friction and errors.
So they are applying the exact same algorithmic efficiency and data normalization models to vastly different societal infrastructure.
Exactly. It's impartial efficiency.
That completely reframes the whole platform for me. It really shows how universal these data fragmentation problems are, you know, whether you're managing millions in a family trust or managing essential resources for community welfare, the technology doesn't care about the size of the bank account. It just wants to organize the chaos.
It is, in essence, the democratization of institutional-grade data infrastructure.
Well, to wrap this all up for you listening, FinFusion is presenting a really compelling, massive shift in how we handle complex information. We are looking at a landscape defined by what they call algorithmic wealth and precision management.
The end of manual administrative burdens.
Exactly. It's a reality where that hidden tax of hunting through emails and PDFs that we talked about at the start is finally handed over to the machine. The AI gets the pristine ledger, it organizes the chaos across the entire family portfolio, and the human professional is freed up to focus entirely on strategy, empathy, and the actual human relationship.
It is a powerful vision for the future of advisory services.
Yeah.
But as we synthesize all of this, it does leave us with a lingering, somewhat provocative question to consider as this technology matures.
Let's hear it.
Well, if the AI is the entity securely ingesting the complex data, if the AI is the one running the continuous analysis, finding the anomalies, highlighting the hidden risks, and actually synthesizing the strategic talking tracks for the meeting, at what point in the future does the client realize they are paying for the AI's institutional insight rather than the human advisor's expertise?
Oh, man.
As this technology evolves for generations, where exactly does the tool end and the advisor begin?
That is the perfect question to leave on. I mean, if the X-ray machine gets smarter than the doctor reading the chart, the whole dynamic changes. Thank you for joining us on the deep dive. Keep questioning, keep exploring, and we'll catch you next time.